Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. So good. We just appreciate the Lord. Faith ministries, actually, financially wise, we're a whole lot bigger in Mexico than we are here in what we do, what we spend. We were just recently looking back through some of our books. Faith Ministries has given $1.5 million since we started into the work of God. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's over 28 years, but we keep track of everything. And we have always honored designated offerings 100%. You know, people will send money to us to take to a certain pastor. Well, it may cost us $50 to drive it down there, but that comes out of our pocket. That doesn't come out of the offering that is designated for him. And we've just been very strict about that in our heart, is using money exactly like they felt like it should want, that they wanted to do with it. And most mission organizations keep a certain percent to keep their organization running. But we did that one time, and we had years ago, and we had such conviction about it. And he said, no, we'll never ever take out a penny again. Never. It was said for that pastor, if it cost us more to get it to him than they're getting, it doesn't matter. God will meet our needs. And he has. He's been faithful. He's been faithful and blessed us. Well, that wasn't my message. That was just a continuation. But today we're going to be talking about transformation. God loves you like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. Amen. We're going to be reading quite a few scriptures. Romans 12, 1 through 2. This is in the King James. If it's a different translation, I'll try to tell you so you'll know what we're reading out of. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. So God transforms us by renewing our minds, and that comes through his word, through worshiping him, through being in his presence. We're going on to read 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18. And it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are transformed by putting our attention on God, on his glory, by being in his presence. Hallelujah. We're not to have our attention on the darkness. We're to have our attention on the light. We're not to live as a reaction to darkness, but we're to live as a response to light. Because wherever we put our attention is the direction we're going. If we put all of our attention on the darkness, that darkness will just draw us into it. But if we put our attention on the Lord and on the light, we'll be drawn into that light. That's what will be like a magnet pulling us. Hallelujah. Going on to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a spirit. Our born-again spirit is who we really are. That's us. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our will, mind, and emotions, and we're going to talk about that later, and we live in a body. But the real us is our spirit man. Amen? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living." Remember Jesus said, "The words I speak to you, they're spirit and life." "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and to the joints and marrow," which talk about our body or our flesh, "and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Our spirit is our born-again nature. Man was created to commune with God. We were created to have fellowship with God. And that's our spirit function, is to have fellowship with God. We're going back now to Genesis 1:26, and then we'll go read 28. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." See how he called himself plural? We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he said, we're going to create man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God gave man authority over the creeps. Still does. Amen. Going on to 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth." Well, right after this, or sometime after this, man rebelled. They disobeyed God, and in his disobedience, he lost his communion with God, and he lost the dominion he had. It's like one-third of Adam died. His spirit man died. He lost his fellowship with God, and he lost his dominion. Jesus came to bridge the gap between God and man. Jesus paid the price with his own life to redeem us back to a place of fellowship with God. When we are born again, our human spirit unites with God's spirit. And so God comes back in. Hallelujah. And we're once again alive and have communion with God. We're going to read Romans 14:17. And it says, "For the kingdom of God's not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Righteousness and peace and joy are the personality of the born again spirit. Hallelujah. Revelation 1:6 tells us, "And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." So God made his people kings and priests. Hallelujah. Kings govern. They have authority. They can make the rules. Kings govern. And he said he's made us kings and priests. Priests minister to God. They give praise to God. And they also reconcile men to God. And so when we are born again, we again turn to a place of having dominion and authority, and we have a place of fellowship with God, and God wants us to have authority over our world. We have authority over demon spirits. We have authority in Jesus to rule and to have dominion. And we also are called to fellowship with God and reconcile people to God. That's every Christian's privilege and something he can do. Hallelujah. So we have a spirit. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in the body. We're three parts. And I want you to think about it like a tricycle. You know how a tricycle has a big front tire? That's to be our spirit man. Our spirit man is to be in the lead, guiding the way, and our body and our soul are to follow the spirit where he goes. But our spirit man needs to be the big one. If we try to put the big one on one of the back wheels and put the little one on one of the front wheels, you'd be traveling really crooked. It would be a difficult road. It would really be messed up. God is to be first. Our spirit man is to be in the lead. We're going to talk about the soul. The soul is kind of made up of three parts. There's the mind, which includes the intellect, the brain, thinking, evaluation. And then there's emotions. That's part of the soul. We have feelings. We have desires. We have moods. That comes from the soul. And the third part of the soul is it has a will. It has a deciding factor. It can choose. It has choice. We can choose. And then we have a body. And praise God, God gave us a body. That's how we move around and function. And God is also interested in our body. He loved us. He created us to multiply and fill the earth. He created us on purpose in his image, it says. And when Jesus was walking on the earth, just think how much he ministered to people's bodies. He, so many times in the word, he healed all that were sick. He healed all that were sick. It was just a constant thing. He loves our bodies. He wants to heal us and make us whole and minister to us. Amen. We're going on to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 1 and then down to verse 6. And it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Remember, the spiritual is supposed to take the lead. It's supposed to be in top. When I was just a little girl, we had a missionary visit our church, a Navajo missionary. She was missionary to the Navajos. And she told a story, and she said that there was a Navajo man that he said, I have two dogs living inside of me. I have a white dog and a black dog. And whoever I feed the most wins the fight. We have a spirit and we have our flesh, our soul. Whoever we feed the most is going to be the victor, or is going to win. That's not backed up in the word about the black dog and white dog, but it's a good analogy. We have a spirit man and a natural man, and who we feed is going to be the one that wins. Amen. We're going to 1 Corinthians 3:3. It says, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? That's just some of the works of the flesh that's mentioned there. And if we're in that, that's not coming from our spirit. That's coming from our flesh. Our spirit, when we give our lives to God, our spirit is born again. It's a new creature. And sometimes people say, well, if I'm born again, why do I still do dumb things? It's because we still have a flesh. We still have our own soul that needs to be following God. Amen. Hallelujah. Our soul, it's a process for our soul to be changed. And our soul is changed by being in the Word, by spending time worshiping and praising God, by, you know, functioning with a body of believers. Our soul is being transformed. We're going to read Romans 12:2, and this is New Living Translation. And it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Hallelujah. We're going on to Galatians 5:16. And then we'll drop down to 23 and 24. And 22, 3 and 4. Okay, 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's sometimes, that sounds real easy sometimes. Our flesh makes it hard. Down to verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. When we're following the Spirit, there's no law, because everything's all right when we're following the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 24, and those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh, its passions and desire. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we need to be feeding that white dog in us. We need to be feeding that Spirit man. And these gifts of the fruits of the Spirit are just who the Holy Spirit is. And we're in fellowship with Him. They just come natural. They just come flowing, because that's who the Holy Spirit is. Amen. Going on to John 15:4, it said, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So when we're compared to a grapevine, and the branches only have life and produce grapes because they're attached to the vine. Hallelujah. And when we're attached to Jesus, the fruit should be a natural flow within our lives. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they might have life, and that life more abundantly. Life in the Greek is Zoe. That means life in the absolute sense, life as God has it, that which the Father has in Himself and which He gave to His Son. Zoe is the life expressed in the Word, which spoke creation into being. It's creative. Hallelujah. And the foundation of all the universe. It's the life of God, Zoe. We need to be God chasers, God pleasers, worshipers. We need to worship God. You know, you become like what you worship. Have you ever seen a teenager get hooked on rock music and a rock star? And the more they listen to, the more they become like them. Their clothes change, their look change, their attitude changes. But when we spend time worshiping Jesus, we're changed. We worship Him and we're just changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's fun. Hallelujah. God extended grace to us because He wanted us. It's His idea. We don't have to earn acceptance from God. But we just believe in Him and receive His grace. You know, we don't have to work for our salvation. You know, we don't have to count our beads or anything else. It was a free gift. He wanted us to come home to Him. We're His children. He wanted fellowship with us. Hallelujah. We're going to read Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. And it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Grace in the Strong's Concordance means a steady flow of divine power. It has multiple meanings, but that's one of the main meanings. The grace is charis in the Greek, and it's a divine power. When we receive Christ in our hearts, we receive His Spirit, and it's constantly there, and we just have to learn to begin to draw on it because it is there. But it's not from our works, it's from connection with God. In trying to reach perfection by our own efforts, it steals our life, it steals our joy. And when people are trying to live right by their own efforts, you become more religious, but not more spiritual. In Jesus' ministry, he not only taught truth, but he attacked error. He set out to deliver people from a certain belief system. Jesus was involved in a constant war with the Pharisees. It was a belief system that was held by the religious sect called Pharisees. And Jesus said in Mark 8:15, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And what was the belief system that brought such strongest and angriest words of Jesus? The Pharisees called people to come to acceptance to God by their own good works. It was the message of acceptance by performance. And it is the message that's the heart of all religion. It leaves people exhausted in their efforts to perform acceptably for God. Religion is binding oneself to keeping of rules that govern conduct, rituals, formulas about how to please and approach God, and they would do all of this trying to please God and be accepted by Him. And the believer's biggest enemies is a slave mentality that constantly struggles to win God's favor. God's favor and blessing has already been given to us. And we just mess it up when we try, our flesh tries to obtain something that was freely given. It belongs to us. That grace belongs to us. And another thing that when people get in a mindset, well, I have to do this and this and this, and it's different in every group, you know. And, you know, there's groups where you know, the ladies can't wear pants and they can't cut their hair. And it seems like ladies always have more rules than the men. I don't know why that is, but we always get it. But people get to thinking, well, I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to do the other to be pleasing to God, and more it's to be pleasing to the other people around you that's condemning you. But, you know, God, that's not God. That was the lesson of the Pharisees. And when we get into that mode of wanting to please God by our works, then we become very critical of anybody that's not living like we are. Well, they don't wear a scarf on their head to go to church. You know, they don't do this, they don't do that. They couldn't be God's children. Somebody told me one time, I know that she couldn't be saved. She wears pants. I mean, and there's all kinds of ideas that people get in, but and people get critical of anybody that's not living like them. A Pharisee one time in Luke, it tells about, he was standing in the courtyard, and he was looking at everybody, and he said, "God, I'm so thankful I'm not like any of these other men." I mean, that's kind of funny, but it's really pitiful. It's really sad. Because it's not about what we do. It's about who we know and our fellowship with him. That's the bottom line. It's about our fellowship. God created us to fellowship with him, to love him, to have communication with us. And the devil tries to, he tries to attack us and get our ideas on works instead of on relationship. Hallelujah. Religion cries out for judgment. Holiness cries out for repentance and mercy. Holiness has to do with your condition, but righteousness has to do with your position. When we repent, we're righteous before God. We're his beloved children. Repentance comes from the heart. It happens in the spirit, and then it affects the soul and the body. Behavior modification is a popular word these days. I think it's in the school. But behavior modification comes from the soul and is limited in its ability to change. It's trying to please God or the school or whoever you're with by works, by what you're trying to do in your own effort. And it just doesn't do a whole lot. We're going to read Galatians 2:16 in the Amplified Version. It says, "Yet we know that a man is justified or reckoned righteousness and in right standing with God, not by the works of the law, but only through faith and absolute reliance on and adherence to and trust in Jesus Christ." Righteousness just means right standing before God. You're in fellowship with him. Then we're going to go on in Galatians 2:20 in the Amplified. And it says, "I've been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in, by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 3:1-3, this is New King James Version. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was already portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" You know, we were a sinner when God saved us, and he immediately cleansed us, and we became righteous. And then the devil tries to trick us into having to work to please God. You know, it's not by what we do. It's about who he is and our relationship with him. Amen. Galatians 6:8, New Living Translation, says, "Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit and will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit." We touch God through faith, which comes from our spirit, not our soul. It comes from our spirit. Faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's in the spirit realm. Faith is not mental assent. The world of the spirit is superior to the world of the natural. The things of the spirit are more real than the natural world we live in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:20 7 tells us Christ in you is the hope of glory. Another word for Christ is the anointing. The anointing within you is the hope of the glory of the Lord. Okay, Colossians 3, 1 through 3 in the Amplified. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich, eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds and keep them set on that which is above, the highest things, not on the things that are on earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new, real life is hidden with Christ in God. Our focus should be on Christ, not on ourselves. It's in Him, in Christ. If we concentrate all of our attention on Him, everything else will just fall in place. You know, it's like when we get the Spirit being the big wheel in front, everything else just follows. And it's not work, it's not trouble, it just happens so easy. Hallelujah. And when our soul and our emotions kick in and want to rule, sometimes it can get kind of messed up, and then we have to come back and say, okay, Spirit world, Spirit, we welcome you. Come be the king, be the lead me. Hallelujah. Amen. God is just so good to us, and I'm so pleased. I'm going to read some basic salvation scriptures. It just kind of came up in my heart. John 3, 14 through 16, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus gave himself on the cross because of his great love for us. He wanted us back in fellowship with him. He wanted our fellowship. He wanted us to know him. And the first step of salvation is to repent. And I'm going to read Acts 2:28. It says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Repent is just not saying, well, I'm sorry. But it's saying, forgive me, and repent means to turn and go a different direction. Turn and follow God. We've been following ourselves and our own sinful pleasures and all of the messes we get in ourselves into, and he says, just come to me. And we do that through, first of all, repenting. And then Romans 10, 9 through 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So really everything we receive from the Lord, we get it by confessing it and believing in our heart and confessing that we have what God's promised for us. Hallelujah. And in Colossians 1, 13 through 14 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So the steps to going from the darkness to light is repenting, believing in our heart, and confessing that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And everyone in here may be born again, may know Jesus, but I just feel led in my heart this morning for us to all bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're going to pray a prayer together. Everyone, I would just like everyone to pray for with me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Set me free. I believe you are the Son of God and that you died for my sins on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a hunger for your ways. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that your presence is here. Your presence is here is so sweet and so precious and wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I would like anyone that's just been struggling in any way, you've been struggling with you've been struggling with sin, or you've been struggling with hurt, a rejection. There's so many things we can struggle with, and I feel that the presence of the Lord is here today to set us free. If you've been struggling with anything, if you would like prayer for anything in your life, please come forward, and we would just love to pray with you, because the presence of the Lord is here, and he can change your focus back to being on the Lord instead of the problems. And when we turn our focus on the Lord, it's like the problems just kind of drift away, because God is bigger than our troubles. He's bigger than our challenges. There's nothing impossible for God. If anybody's in need of physical healing today, just would like to pray for you. God's presence is here to heal, to make whole. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Calvin, would you please join me? Mitch, would you please join me here? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.